Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check us out, Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, C-Man.
What up, dog? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice Warp.
This your man, Mastermind of Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
It's the Murder Master Music Show.
You follow what lamestream says, but here it gets rejected. If you wearing tight jeans, don't expect to get respected. I'm from a time where wearing black was always on your checklist. From a time where faggots get checked if they reckless. From a time where if you got too much shine, we snatch your necklace. This real shit here, Illuminati, fuck the industry. We represent the street and they respect our street ministries. Take no shorts and cut the middleman, literally. This hip-hop savior, our birth scenes like nativity. This a place where no one sells out for relevability. And the masses can get a chance to explore more creativity. You gotta be kidding me. If you call that hip-hop, niggas with hot shades and fluorescent flip-flop. We killin' Big Brother, cause we know he watch. You don't like what I'm doing, then you can suck mine. Oh, and it's
you
the
don't
Murder Master Music Show. It's the 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 Murder Master Music Show.
Episode 264, Murder Master Music Show. Bring on my co-host, Mac J.
Yeah.
How you doing, Mac?
What's up with the prayers? We creeping up there again, man.
And 15 episodes ago, we was at 250, somewhere around there. I mean, it's crazy. It goes by so fast. It's hard to believe we're creeping on 5 years. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's phenomenal. But we've been in the Bay lately, man. We've been interviewing groups like Total Devastation. We had Ren of the Doja Click on here. We got the Loonies coming up on Wednesday. You know, we've been interviewing all kinds of people from the Bay over the years. Big Quinn from UDI. San Quinn, of course. But tonight we got to add somebody, legendary group. I mean, first of all, just to give you an idea, the record label that he was on was Intermittent Records. You know, so I'm talking about Ad Component, totally insane. Now, Intermittent Records also housed RBL Posse, Rappin' Forte at one time, 11-5. Who else was on there? No, 11-5 was on Dog Game, I'm bad. Pooh Man, he was on there. Let's bring on Ad Capone, man. Ad Capone in the place to be. What's up, man? How you doing?
Hello.
Man?
Hey, what's going on, baby?
Man.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Can you hear me?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, we good. You hear us?
Yeah.
Man, first and
I'm
foremost,
kinda in a bad,
you're in bad reception.
Yeah, my reception's kind of bad. Hold on, let me try to walk down, see if I can get in a better place. If I hang up, I'll call right back.
Oh, for sure.
What's going on, though?
Well, man, we were just telling everybody, you're from the legendary group Totally Insane. You guys first came out in the early 90s, I believe. Now, you're from East Palo Alto, California, right? Where is that exactly at in the Bay Area?
I'm from East Palo Alto. It's like in between San Jose and San Francisco. It's like in each direction. I mean, in the middle of San Francisco and San Jose.
Yeah. Hello. I believe you said it was in between San Jose and San Francisco, is that what you said?
It's like in between San 4 miles, 30,000 population. Yeah, and our first album came out in 1991, direct from Backstreet.
And that was on Intermittent Records. Now, that was the same label, you know what I'm saying, I was talking about, put out Pooh Man and a bunch of other classic Bay Area artists. What was it like being on Intermittent Records at that time, man? Because you guys were pretty much like the No Limit of that era. You know, matter of fact, No Limit was actually on there. Master P, that was the first label he was with, was Intermittent.
Yeah, Master P was on, yeah. On records back in the day, it was us RBL, Mac Mill. I don't know if y'all remember Mac Mill back in the day.
Yeah.
Pooh Man was on there, MC Pooh.
You guys had a lot of classic artists there. Do you think Master P soaked up some of the game from Intermittent Records? Because for a minute there, it was almost like Intermittent had it on lock.
I think his car's right, Prayer.
Yeah, no, he's still on the board. He probably, Ad Capone, can you hear us?
Hello, can you hear me?
No. Yeah, yeah. Now I can
hear my phone going in. I'm trying to walk.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go to some music. You sent me some tracks. We're going to play some music, and then we'll come back. We'll see if we got some better reception.
Hello, can you hear me?
We'll pick it up from there. Yeah, I can hear you now. You good?
Yeah. I had to step outside. I had to come outside the building.
Okay, we got you loud and clear right now.
Okay, cool.
You found a good location. I was saying is, you know, Master P obviously went on to sell, you know, millions and millions of records. Do you think he soaked up a lot of game from Intermittent? Because, you know, Intermittent for a while was that, you know what I'm saying, independent Death Row, No Limit type label.
Yeah.
How's a lot of good acts?
I definitely think that what Master P did was he came in there and he seen, well, he was already, you know, pumping his music himself on the streets. And I think what Intermittent Records gave him was it showed him like a record label blueprint, you know, a blueprint on how to run a label. You know, because we all spent a lot of time up there and Intermittent had a pretty good open door policy. You come in and, you know, you could chill out, hang out, and we all kind of like just went up there and just seen how things was ran, seen how the operation went. And I think Master P just soaked it up and, you know, with the street sense he had and the little bread that he had, he just put it together and created an empire, you know?
Yeah. He probably figured he can do the same thing and eventually he went on and did. Describe the atmosphere like during those early days. What was it like kicking it with Pooh Man and Master P and RBL Posse? I mean, did you guys all do shows together, or what was the deal?
Oh, yeah. Back in those days, you know, a lot of the artists, especially, like, from the Bay Area, a lot of the artists from out here was real close. It was, like, a real close community. You know, we all supported each other. Like, for instance, when we first came out, the Click and E-40 and them was just coming out at the same time, you know. Us, the Click and RBL was coming out around the same time. And at that time, we were, like, you know, three at the top in the Bay, and our relationship was real close. Even to this day, you know, our relationship is real close. I'm still cool with RBL. I'm still cool with 40 in the Click, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it was like a big, it was like a family atmosphere back then. You know, promoted everybody. Everybody came out and represented. If E-40 and them do a show, we'll all come out and support. If RBL did a show, we'll all come out and support. If we had a show, they'll all come out and support. So I think back then in the 90s, in the Bay Area, it was more of a family atmosphere than anything. You know, everybody had love for each other. Everybody had respect for each other. Everybody was fans of each other. We all listened to each other's music. And I think it was just a little more, I'm not going to say it's more unity than now, because, you know, the game was more independent, a little more brand new. So, you know, cats was, you know, hustling CDs and hustling stuff out the trunk. It wasn't a lot of downloading, so cats wasn't bootlegging and, you know, downloading. And I guess it was more of a hustle back then, you know, more of a hustle mentality back then, you know.
Like straight grinding for real.
Straight grinding for real. You know, we used to ride around every city in the Bay Area with trunks full of CDs. And wherever we seen a group of people at, we just jump out. You know, we wasn't scared about getting shot at. We wasn't scared about getting jumped. You know, we'd jump out with a handful of CDs and hand them out and, you know. Getting that promo going. You know, I don't know. Nowadays, I don't think it's too much face-to-face or hand-to-hand. You know, well, CDs is going out of style, so people ain't slanging. Right, people ain't jicking CDs out the trunk no more. It's all about promoting and getting them to your website or getting them to your Facebook, getting them to your social media, you know, to check out the music online. Back then, we'll just hand you the product, and if you got a, you know, most cats, if they were standing by their car, they'll slap it in the tape deck, and if your shit sound good, they'll bump your shit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you were also on West Coast Bad Boys, the original one that Master P put out. You were on the album with the likes of Sebo, of course, JT the Bigger Figure, the Delinquents, Dre-Dawg. I mean, so many people, man. What was it like being featured on a compilation like that? I mean, you were already featured on many, many projects prior to this, but did you guys know that it was going to be that big at that time, that you were part of something that was going to be that huge?
I don't think nobody really did at the time. I think Master P just knew that he was putting together a lot of great talent. You know what I'm saying? At that time, the Bay Area had his own buzz. All the artists that was featured on there had their own fan base and had their own record sales. And I just think he came at the right time and made the right move. You know, he put together all the best from the Bay. And we knew it was going to be something. We didn't know it was going to be as big as it was. We knew it was going to be tight. We knew that people in the Bay was going to feel it. We didn't know that it was going to have the national and worldwide success that it had. That shit went gold. You know, that shit sold over 500,000 copies, you know. And shit, maybe even it might be platinum by now, because that's been a while. But last time I checked, it was like 700,000, like a little bit over gold. We didn't. What it was back then was when he first was making the call around and telling everybody that he was trying to get everybody together to do the compilation. Everybody was in on it because they knew it was going to be tight. You know, it'd be a good move for the Bay. We didn't know that he had all the things in play, like he was negotiating to deal with Priority Records at the time, and the Ice Cream Man was about to blow up like that. So we didn't know all the moves he was making in the background. All we thought was he was just going to put together a good compilation. Now, when the shit dropped and everywhere you went, they was playing that shit, a different song off the album, it was like, wow, dog, this shit is something else, you know? Everywhere you went, they was playing a different song off the West Coast Bad Boys, you know? And it was in everybody's tape deck. You go to the mall, they playing it over, you know, playing it over the loudspeaker in the mall at the Durant Square, at the Eastmont Mall, or, you know, Sacramento at the Florin Mall, you know? It just was kind of like, that shit just was like crazy, man, you know?
Right. Yeah, man. And to think it's almost been, you know, what, 25 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean that all that music has withstood the test of time. You know, like you said, direct from the back streets, 1991. 25 years later, man. You guys got any plans for, you know, maybe a reunion or a tour or a re-release or anything for that?
Yeah, what happened was last year, we were supposed to do a box set of our first three albums, because that was 2015 was the 20th year anniversary for our Backstreet Life album. So we were gonna put together a box set, you know, with all the songs remastered and all that. And I don't know, we just kind of dropped the ball on it, you know. I'm still working on it. I'm still trying to put it together to get it out there. But we just kind of like dropped the ball on it. So much was going on, you know, in our personal lives that we just, you know, didn't have time to get back to do the music the way we wanted to do it, or carry out the plans that we had with the music that we had. It's just kind of like everyday life kind of made us fumble the ball on that, you know what I'm saying? But it's still in the works. I'm still working on the clothing line. I'm still working on that. You know, just everyday, you know, everyday hustle, you know.
Still doing your thing. And we got some music. We're going to give them a track right now. This is Gangsta Party. Tell everybody about this one.
Gangsta Party, that's off my first solo album, The K-Word, featuring my man The Jacka, may he rest in peace, and my man FedEx from Mob Figures. Interesting story. Jacka had a show out in Oakland, and me and a buddy of mine went out there, and I had never met Jack before. We knew each other through Hood Stars. I know you know who Hood Stars is. Scoot and Band-Aid, my little brothers. They introduced me to Jack. Well, actually, we was at the party, and Scoot walked Jack over to me, and Jack was like, "Man, I'm a big fan of yours. I've been listening to your shit ever since Direct from the Backstreet. You know what I'm saying? I got a studio session coming up, man. I'd love for you to come in and record some shit." And I was, I was already a big Jacka fan anyway, so I was like, "Oh, hell yeah." So went over to 17 Hertz, make a long story short. He was in there recording a song. I think he was in there recording one of the songs off the last album he came out with. It's been a few years. I think he was working on Tear Gas at the time. And I came in. I had a track. I put the track on. And man, he went into he fired up a blunt and sat there and wrote the hook out. He wrote the hook in like 5 minutes, man. It real quick. He went there, laid the hook. Came out. We sat down. We chopped it up for a minute. We wrote our verses and went in there, recorded the song. In the middle of recording the song, FedEx come in, and we was doing a playback. We had did the first two verses. We had like a last verse empty. And the engineer was doing the playback. FedEx heard the song, was like, "Man, I got to get on that shit." So that's Gangsta Party, man.
Wow. Just like that.
Just like that. This all happened within a matter of days. The show was Friday night. Went chopped it up with him Friday night. Tuesday night, we was recording the song.
What's like some of your most memorable moments from back when y'all first came out? Like, what was that moment when you knew, like, "Man, we really popping, man. Like, we really got motherfuckers listening to this shit."
Let me think. Shit, we got so many of them. Our first, I think when Direct from the Backstreet came out, we were at Cal Skate in Milpitas. We was at the skating ring in Milpitas. I don't know if y'all remember that. All the Bay Area cats, Cal Skate. Cal Skate was a big, you know, big skating ring back in the days. Everybody from all over the Bay used to come down to Oakland, San Francisco, San Jose, East Palo Alto. You know, from everywhere used to come down to Milpitas to the skating ring. And one night we was out there, and we sitting around, you know, we standing around, and a car full of girls came through. They was in like a convertible 5.0 or some shit with gold ones on it, with hella slapping they shit. And they pulled up bumping our shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that right there, it was kind of like, "Damn, dog, that's our shit." You know, they playing our shit. A car full of females is bumping our shit, you know what I'm saying? So that kind of like let me know that, you know, this, you know, what we doing, people like what we doing. And what we doing, you know, we doing the right thing. We got talent, and motherfuckers like what we doing, you know?
Right, and that's cool as you said, you know, y'all was all together and, like, you know, the other groups around, y'all was all supporting each other, you know what I'm saying? Like, because you don't never really see none of that shit no more, you know what I'm saying? It's just, and really what you usually see is a whole lot of dick riding, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's,
real
that's
talk.
That's why I'm glad, like, cats like y'all still making music, you know what I'm saying? Because we still out here ready to hear that real shit, you know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't buying into that bullshit, you know what I'm saying? So
right,
I'm
right.
Always saluting cats that I grew up listening to that still continue, as we like to call it, putting up that good fight or putting out good music, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right, yeah. I think happened, why the music changed, the industry wanted to water the powers that be wanted to water the industry down. They didn't want that gangster shit to keep on striving like that, because that shit be giving out too much game, man, you know. That real
right.
that street knowledge, man, is too fucking powerful, you know. Motherfuckers be listening to them songs and listen to that music and really be learning some real valuable shit. And a lot of the powers to be don't want motherfuckers to have that type of knowledge or that type of game, because that shit opens your eyes to the, you know, the behind the scenes agenda. You feel what I'm saying?
Right. Now, and I always felt that it was kind of like they knew they couldn't play y'all either. Like when y'all learned the game, you know what I'm saying? Like they can't just come to y'all and just give y'all some old wishy washy deals or just throw y'all anything, because y'all was independent anyway. So like you said, y'all used to pull up with trunks full of tapes.
Yeah, you feel me? How you gonna offer me a 360 deal when I'm making $1 million out the trunk? You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
How you gonna try to take all my publishing? They ain't playing me on the radio any motherfucking way. So, you feel me?
You're right, and that's some crazy shit too. Like you just said, they ain't trying to play y'all shit on the radio, but they want to own y'all publishing.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and now
crazy.
With like cats from our era really got to be careful, because from what I'm hearing they doing now is, you know, they doing a lot of biopic picks, and a lot of radio stations is starting to add classic hip hop to their playlist formats and all that. So a lot of cats that got them old 90s classics got to start really getting on their shit, because they're about to start playing a lot of that classic hip hop. You know, they're making a new category of rap called classic hip hop, which entails like from 80s to 90s to early 2000s. So a lot of cats that wasn't getting radio play back then might start getting radio play now. You know,
yeah,
especially with
the iHeart
Radio and the, you know, the iHeartRadio and the Pandora and all that. A lot of cats that wasn't getting played, you know, wasn't getting a lot of airtime, is now starting to get heard on these platforms, you know.
Yeah, exactly, man. And you know what we are over here, we're pretty much the audio version of Murder Dog, because when Murder
right.
Dog left, it left that void. You know what I mean? I wrote for them for about 15 years, and I knew there needs to be another platform. You know what I'm saying? That's
yeah.
pretty much what we do. We have that platform for artists like yourself who might not have other platforms. You know what I'm saying? Also,
right.
I want to shout out Sickness, too, because you, as you know, Sickness is a huge support platform for the Bay Area, for all the West Coast, really. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Shout out to Sickness, you know, as well. But let's give me the song, Gangsta Party, featuring FedEx and the late Jack. We'll be right back right here. Murder Master Music Show. We got Ad Capone, Totally Insane. Don't go nowhere.
UGS for life. Pushing coke and what? Yeah. Free the hot Jack. The P, my nigga, Ad, yeah.
PA, nigga.
Straight up, nigga.
Number 6.
The
209.
Yes, that real nigga shit, yeah.
The Z, South Bay,
that don't say the mob, ho. I'm from the hood and all that shit. 30 round clips on all our hips. I smoke zips and all my whips. Real niggas doing time while y'all just snitch. Sometimes I think about my life and why I exist. I'm blowing up, but this street shit hard to resist. You ain't heard about this, pushing coke and Chris. Same number, same hood, I'm larger than this. Right here, what you see, snitches got the game fucked, so I can't be me. I just wake your game up over beats like these. Hoes love us like the stars, but we just G's. Fuck all these little brides, they ain't giving me cheese. I'm in my Benz catching Z's, high fuck.
fuck on lean. 50 stacks in my pocket and I'm fresh out the bean. When my nigga ass rock, bitch, we living our dream. Yeah. Nigga, 30 in my clock, it won't miss. Ride around strapped and all my whips. Jack and ass rock, we really with the shit. Yeah, we with the shit. Yeah, we really with the shit. Yeah, nigga, 30 in my clock, it won't miss. Ride around strapped and all my whips. Jack and ass rock, we really with the shit. Yeah, we with the shit. Yeah, we really with the shit.
The game's
yeah.
over, yeah, and nigga. This is the time of real niggas. Check it out. Totally insane, meet the mob figures. Jack and Anchor Punk collaboration is too deep. Bitch niggas stay in your house and sleep. I keep that 4/5 tucked in my coat.
Right.
Bitch niggas won't test AD. My black steel is aimed up at your throat. OG call a backstreet hog and it's a go. Cut all my hair off. Now I'm a ball head, not like Sebo. Catch the chamber. Arnold can't save you. Oh no. I have your brain in your lap and you missing the nose. My last words were fuck all y'all and I'll be back. I came back with 2 AKs and 2 Macs. You ain't messed up. You messed up and you won't breathe. You made a wrong turn, bro. Say you can't leave. I'm from the small town cemetery, a backstreet boy, a motherfucking living legend with a brand new toy.
Nigga, 30 in my clock, it won't miss. Ride around strapped and all my whips. Jack and ass rock, we really with the shit. Yeah, we with the shit. Yeah, we really with the shit. Yeah,
nigga, 30 in my clock, it won't miss. Ride around strapped and all my whips. Jack and ass rock.
Take the vision pot, add water, boil it till it's hot. Pour the Yola in, baking soda, stir it till it's locked. Hit the block, way to go get it, take an airplane flight. Air compression, then double bag it, get your cash on right. Call the jacker, bring the ski mask, the heckler and cots. Park the Chevy round the corner, first we sit back and watch. Let's get this money, everybody spread out on the floor. Get booty butt naked, we want the jewelry and dough. Yeah, breaking news. At first it was just my nigga Jack, but now my nigga FedEx came in the motherfucking house. You know what I'm saying? This is exclusive. Grab your motherfucking iPods, your MP3 players, and your motherfucking iPhones, nigga. There's some gangster shit popping off here tonight. Totally insane in the motherfucking mob figures, man. What more could you ask for?
Hey, I can see it all clear now. While I'm staring at the world through my EKs, out of grasp for your girl on the double D. She fell in love with the music, what a groupie. I'm in the fast lane, do a 150. 180 on the dash, slow down your speed. I'm in the world moving fast, they say I overeat. It's a celebration, so we throw a
nigga 30 in my clock, it won't miss. Ride around strapped and all my whips. Jack and ass rock, we really with the shit, yeah. With the shit, yeah, really with the shit, yeah.
Nigga, 30 in my clock, it won't miss. Ride around strapped and all my whips. Jack and ass rock, really with the shit, yeah. We with the shit, yeah. We really with the shit, yeah.
Talking about right there, and that's the type of stuff, you know what I'm saying, the music that's needed right now. What are you working on right now, Al Capone? You got an album that you get ready to put out?
I'm working on an album. I'm not finished with it yet. I'm just, you know, taking my time with it, trying to put it together the right way. It's called Born to Lose, Built to Win. I'm probably going to drop it like toward the end of the year. I'm just, you know, trying to put it together, trying to get the best shit that I can, you know.
Yeah. Hey, when you drop it, make sure we get it. We do reviews too over at UGSForLife.com. So we'll make we'll make sure to review it too. That's another thing we do. Anybody want, you know, their albums reviewed, go to UGSForLife.com. We'll take care of it. We'll either give it a review or we'll throw it in the garbage. I know we ain't throwing your shit in the garbage. You've been doing this for a quarter century. When exactly did you get in the game, and what influenced you to get in the game?
You mean when did I start rapping, or when did I put our first album come out? When I started putting music out.
When did you start rapping, and why did you start rapping? Like, who was your major influence at the time to get you rapping?
I think I really started rapping. I started doing assemblies and talent shows and stuff when I was like 10. Out where we live at in East Palo Alto, you know, they have a lot of Juneteenth festivals, a lot of talent shows. So, you know, me and Mac 10 and Chunk and other buddies that we grew up with just start entering talent shows at like 10, 11, 12, start rapping at school on the playground, battling each other. I think it started like in the fifth grade. We had a teacher named Miss East. She was kind of like the electives drama-like teacher, you know, drama class teacher. She put together a lot of plays and talent shows and assemblies for the school. And one day we was on the playground battling, and, you know, a group of us in a circle, we out there battling, and, you know, everybody dropping their verses. And she just happened to walk up in the crowd and just kind of listen to what we was doing. So after the bell rang and everybody was on their way to the class, she kind of pulled me over and was like, man, y'all got some talent, man. Y'all been doing that for a while. And you just kind of like sat down, chopped it up. So what happened was after school, she made her classroom available for us to come in and, practice our skills. She got instruments for us. She got microphones for us. And she just kind of like just helped us out, kind of like guided us, you know, in the direction we needed to go. So for years, you know, a couple years after that, leading into middle school, we just kind of like did talent shows, assemblies. I didn't get introduced to the studio until like the summer of my eighth grade. I just graduated from eighth grade. I was about to go into high school. So the summer before my freshman year, my boy Doc Louie, uncle, had a studio at his house. Back then he had an 8-track, but you know, you record, you got 4 tracks for the beat, you got 4 tracks for the verse, you know, for the lyrics. We just start going over there recording demos. I got introduced to the dope game about 13, 14, started grinding, getting my money. Got introduced to Music Annex, where Too Short used to do his earlier tapes, like 75 Girls and Born to Mac.
Cocaine and all that.
Raw and Uncut and X-Ray.
Where he recorded all those in the early 80s?
Yeah, Music Annex, right behind my house, and we didn't even know it all that time.
Holy shit.
Back then it was charging. What happened was we went over there to go talk to the guy that ran Music Annex. When we walked in the office, he had a Born to Mac plaque, gold plaque on his wall. So it was kind of like, damn, y'all fuck with Too Short? He's like, yeah, Too Short recorded his whole album over here. And we was like, damn, you know, that kind of like, damn. So he went in the back, came out, and gave us like a handful of Born to Mac and 75 Girls tapes. We was like, damn. So we started recording there. We did like a few songs there. The songs that we did there didn't really manifest or go nowhere. A couple years later, we got introduced to TC out in San Francisco. A buddy of mine named Zero Larkin did
the Enhancer, right?
Enhancer didn't come till later.
Okay.
Enhancer came a few years later. What happened was my boy knew Coognut. My boy Zero Lark was a real good friend with Coognut, IMP. May he rest in peace also. And Coognut introduced him to TC. He recorded a few demos, brought it back to the town, let us hear him. And we started asking, damn, where you record that at? So he gave us the plug with TC. We went down, we drove down to TC's. And from the first minute we was introduced to TC, it was just kind of like it was on and popping. He played a few beats for us. We picked a few beats we liked. We rapped to him, and it was on, you know. It was on like on and popping. We had a few members in the group, Zero Lark and MC Silk. Both of them left the group. How you doing? Both of them left the group before Direct from the Backstreet came out. The group kind of like broke up for different reasons, and the last two, the last remaining members were me and Mac 10 and TC, and my man Manny the Black, which put the money up for it. We had an album called Crazy Shit. Well, let me rewind. My man Mike D, Neighborhood Kingpin, put the money up for us for to go to the studio. He paid for the studio time. We recorded an album called Crazy Shit. And right before we was about to drop the album, Mike got murdered. He got killed in Oakland. So his some cold shit. We was in the press. We did the album cover. The album was mixed, mastered, everything. It was in the press. And he got murdered, man. The summer of 91. So we went to his brother. His brother was taking over his, you know, taking over operations. He had a group called Black Dynasty. Have you ever heard of Black Dynasty out of Oakland?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Black Dynasty.
I've probably heard a track or two, but I've never bought any of their stuff. Who consisted of Black Dynasty?
Who was in the group? D-Poet and Kareem and DM. And I forgot what their rap names were, but shout out to Black Dynasty. Mike's brother Chris was executive producer of Black Dynasty. And what happened was after Mike got killed, we went over to Chris to kind of talk to him about our project. Black Dynasty was more into the Poor Rights Teacher, Public Enemy type of, you know, black consciousness type rap at that time, you know.
Yeah.
So like at that time, like the Coop or Poor Rights Teachers or X-Clan, they was into that type of, you know, rap, you know, black, you know, positive blackness. So at the time, Chris thought that their style of music might blow up bigger than our, you know, more than our style of music. So he wasn't willing to gamble on both groups. So he chose a group and he chose Black Dynasty and kind of like put us on the back burner. So what happened was a buddy of mine that, you know, a buddy of mine that I grew up with was out there getting some money. He kind of like got at us and I told him what happened with Chris and with Mike and all that. Him and Mike was real close and he kind of like wanted to carry on where Mike left off and, you know, out of respect for Mike and kind of like we went to go holler at Chris to get the masters for the album so we can release the album. Manny was going to pay for it to get manufactured. He wanted Manny to pay him back for what Mike had already put into it and some astronomical crazy ass number. So instead of paying for the album, we just scrapped it and recorded direct from the Backstreet.
Oh,
which
so
happened
you
to pay off
a whole new one. So that old album, was it ever released at all?
No, we never released that album. We took songs off of there, like Crazy Shit and From A to D is off of that album. I don't know if you remember those songs. Those are both of our off of our second album. Crazy Shit and From A to D was both on the Crazy Shit album. But the rest of the songs we kind of scrapped.
See, that's over a quarter century. Is that stuff still out there, though? Do you have, I mean, do you have copies of this? Or?
Nah, I don't have copies of that album.
Wow.
TC might have a copy of the songs or something somewhere, but nah, we never even looked back at that album, you know?
Yeah, somebody got to upload that shit on YouTube or something, man. Put a EP of it out or something. But, man, that's history. That's history. Your roots really tie together with a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? And you've been doing it so long, you're still making music. You know, I commend you for the longevity and still being in this game after all this time. What keeps you in it?
Just the love of the music, you know. Overall, more than being a recorded artist, I'm a hip hop fan. You know, I grew up a fan of this music. You know, I remember my mom taking me to the Fresh Fest back in the days, Run DMC, the Beastie Boys, Fat Boys, and all them. The Fresh Fest. My mom used to take me to those back when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, and I just got starstruck. The first legend to me, the first rapper that I looked at as a legend that said, I want to be like that, was LL Cool J. You know what I'm saying? I went to go see him at the Oakland Coliseum perform. He came out the big-ass radio, took his shirt off. The bitches were screaming. And I said, I want to do that. I want to be like LL. You feel what I'm saying? Then a few years later, NWA come out. I went, my Uncle Pete, may he rest in peace, took me and my brother to an NWA concert. And it was just the way the crowd reacted to him, the way they, you know, each one of them had their own little character, but they all, with all the black on, with the Raider hats on, they just looked like, you know, they just looked like, damn, I want to be a part of that, you know? So it was just like, I've always been a fan of the music, and I just, that's what I wanted to do, you know, that was my passion, that was my dream, to make music, you know.
Yeah, hell yeah, you're still doing it. That's a huge accomplishment, you know what I'm saying, after all these years, because a lot of guys from that era, you know what I'm saying, they only maybe dropped an album or two, and that was it, you know, you know, it's good to know that you're still releasing music today. What's the major difference that you see with the music today versus the music of the 90s? Because to me, I'm looking at the 90s like, man, that's an untouchable, unfuckwittable era of music. You know what I'm saying? And I'm looking at some of the shit that's coming out today, and I can't relate to it, man. What are your thoughts?
I think it was just the time, you know, the things that was going on at that time was just, I don't know, man, you know, I don't know. It seemed like back then people was more fearless to say what they wanted to say. They didn't really care too much about mainstream, or they didn't give a damn about, a lot of rappers back then didn't rap for the radio. You know what I'm saying? They didn't give a damn about being on the radio and being mainstream and being pop and all that. A lot of rappers nowadays, that's what they aim for. They come out making pop songs so they can target that genre. Rappers back then didn't give a damn. They were just putting out what they felt. They was coming from the heart. They was putting out what represented them and the crowd, either liked or the loved, you know, either hated or the loved. Nowadays, I think cats is more gimmick rapping. You know, it's more aimed toward the mainstream. The content of the music ain't really talking about nothing. You know, all they talk about is flossing and having money. When back then, we used to talk about the struggle. We used to talk about the police. We used to talk about the hood. We was talking about a little bit of everything, you know. We was just really putting our real life and real experiences in the music. And I think that those times are different now. So the rappers nowadays, they got different topics. They got different things to talk about. You know, I don't think they looking at life how we looked at it back then. You know, even like the movie. I know you've seen Straight Outta Compton. Everybody's seen Straight Outta Compton, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Watching that movie. Back then, in that era, shit was real, man. You know, dudes was getting smoked, getting drive-bys every day. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I think shit was a lot more volatile back then. I mean, shit is volatile now. The police is killing brothers at a high rate. And that was happening back then, too. But I just think that cats was more gangster back then and wasn't scared to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they're not talking about anything. You went away for a minute. You were gone for a while. You care to talk about what happened and why you were gone?
Oh, yeah, no problem. What happened was, I mean, it ain't no secret. You know, I come from the hood. I come from the streets. Come up selling dope, you know, doing what I had to do to survive. What happened was that carried on into my later life. I wasn't on the block no more. You know, I wasn't out there grinding like I was doing, but I still had my hands in it. You know, I still was making moves behind the scenes and, you know, still trying to get my money, man. You know, I have family to take care of and, you know,
right.
Everybody need money. What happened was, It was a situation. I was trying to be greedy. I didn't really do my homework and my research like I should have. And I just kind of like went out of blind faith and went down to Louisville, Kentucky with some work and got popped in the airport by the DEA. Basically, it was a setup job. And I got sentenced. I got sentenced to 8 years in federal prison. Way more than what I was supposed to have got. The deal, the case that I had only carried a mandatory minimum of 5 years. But with my criminal history background, that added on, that tacked on another 3 years, and I ended up getting 8 years in the feds. I ended up doing 6 years off the eight, which is 85%, from 2001 to 2007. I've been home since then. I've been home since 07. It's almost 10 years.
Right, about to say, glad you home.
Glad.
Man, yeah. shout out to my man Cole 187 from Above the Law. He was in there with me. Cole 187 from Above the Law was in the feds with me.
Seth really?
Gaffler from GLP. Yeah. Hutch, Big Hutch, Cole 187 from Above the Law.
Yeah, we had Hutch on here a couple times.
Yeah, he's locked up with me.
Did you guys ever kick it about raps and stuff? Did he ever?
Oh yeah. He produced a track on my. Matter of fact, I should have sent you that track too. He said that he produced a track on my album, on my second album called. What's the name of that song? I'm gonna send it to you. I'll send you the song so you can hear it.
Oh hell yeah!
That shit go hard. He sent me a hard ass track. But good dude. And you know, I met him. Shit, I got at him as a fan. Like, you know, we was introduced on the yard. A mutual friend introduced us. Yeah, man, that's a Cole 187 from Bud Alone. It's Act Poem Totally Insane. We both was kind of like, oh, for real? Oh shit. So we sat down, chopped it, and shit, man, we became real good friends, man. That's a real solid dude. Shout out to my man Seth the Gaffler from GLP. He was in the feds with me too.
Seth the Gaffler, yep, I remember him. He was in there with you too, huh?
Yeah, he was in there with me too. Seth the Gaffler, Cole 187, Chong from Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong. He's
you were in there with Tommy Chong?
Yeah, Tommy Chong is a cool dude, man. Shout out to Tommy Chong, man.
Yeah, I remember with him selling bongs and shit on the internet.
Bullshit.
Yeah, hella fucked up what they did to that guy.
They gave his ass a year for that shit. He did a year for that shit. But he was real cool, man. He was, you know, he was such a solid dude. Like, a lot of people come in for visits and see him, or, you know, their family tell him who he is. He'll take pictures with you and everything, man.
Wow.
He's a solid dude.
Real humble, huh?
Real humble, yeah. Cheech used to come up there and visit him.
Cheech would come in there and visit him? Oh, shit.
Yeah, Cheech used to come up there.
But he was probably sneaking Chong some dope. Jesus Christ.
Oh, shit, we already had it. Me and my boy blew Chong. We had already blew Chong brains out before.
See, I mean, it's one thing that you're in there with Cole 187 or Seth the Gaffler, but then Tommy Chong, you know what I'm saying? That's amazing right there, you know.
For real.
But you did your time. You got out. Did you do a lot of writing while you were in there?
Yeah, I did. Man, I had tons of. What happened was I had tons of songs that I wrote, and. Once I got to Arkansas, they shipped me off to Arkansas to finish my time out. And once I got to Arkansas, the guards and COs in Arkansas, it seems like they have a attitude or a vendetta against cats from California. Once I got out there, they start fucking with me, man. They start, you know, just randomly searching my locker and they're not supposed to take your legal work. You know what I'm saying? They're not supposed to touch your legal papers and all that. I had a big legal folder that had legal work written on it, and they fucking raided my locker, took all my shit, went through all my songs. They was actually trying to send me to the hole. They said some of the lyrics, some songs I was writing was terroristic threats and
wow.
You know, they was trying to really cause a big thing about it, man. They was really trying to they threw me in the hole. They was about to take me out to they got this shit called a writ. They send you out on a writ. They send you back on a and try to file a whole new case on your ass. You know what I'm saying? And so they was trying to say that some of the lyrics that I was writing was terroristic threats, and I was saying shit like fuck the police, fuck the president, and shit like that. And they was trying to say that was terroristic threats, you know. And this was at the time,
you know, crazy.
When that shit happened. That's when Hurricane Katrina had happened. So I had, you know, I was writing some shit about how I felt about about George Bush and all that shit. And they got a hold of that, and they was, you know, that shit go.
Right, trying to railroad you and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucked the nigga release date. I got out 70 days later than I was supposed to. 70 days after my release date. 2 months after my release date. Yeah, they fuck, yeah.
1 day after your release date's 2 months. 70.
Yeah,
right?
And that should fucking be
really
illegal. That should fucking be illegal. If they give you a release date on paper, that should be it, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
you would think. You know what I'm saying? But
they fucked me over, man.
Ah, damn.
They fucked me over.
Not right at all. We have another radio show. We have we had a guy from the Innocence Project on, and he was speaking about, you know, getting people free after 5 years or 30 years or more in prison, you know, freeing them with DNA evidence and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so
hell,
I mean,
yeah.
The injustice system is as corrupt as it gets because it's run. I mean, it's profit for as a business. You know what I'm saying? They even say Michael Jordan owns stocks in the prison and industrial complex, which is fucked up. You know,
well, they said the prison industrial complex is ran by the slavery industrial complex. The same motherfuckers that own slaves, the same motherfuckers that own prisoners.
Right.
Yeah, it's no different than what they're doing to kids around the world in these slave labor camps. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just a different. It's for adults, and it's a different name for a different institution. Same
hell
shit,
yeah.
Different.
And I've been through the juvenile system. You know, I've been to Glenwood and Boys Ranch, and you know, I've been through that shit before. So I know. Yeah, that shit is real, man. That shit is real as fuck.
Well, that shit is real. Now you're out there. You know, you've been through the system, you've been through the feds, you've been through the juvenile. You're literally totally insane. Where did you guys get the name Totally Insane from? Were you guys crazy little fuckers coming up? I mean, what was the deal?
Well, the name Totally Insane, we named the group Totally Insane to represent our city. At that time,
okay.
1990, 1991, 1992, you know, we was the murder capital of the nation. Now, mind you, we only like 3 square miles and 30,000 people. And we beating out cities like Chicago and, you know what I'm saying? We beating out Chicago and L.A. and murder rates. So that was kind of like, it was I got the name from, I was watching a news report, and they was talking about East Palo Alto. And I don't know who the guy was. They was interviewing some scholar or some dude, you know, some whoever dude was. And he was saying, he was saying, how can you have a 3 square mile city with an under 30,000 population be the number one murder capital of the nation? That's totally insane. And I was stopped, and I watched the interview, and he said, that's totally insane. I said, shit, that's the name of our fucking group, Totally Insane.
Huh.
I told Mac, I told TC, and they're like, hell yeah. Because at first we was trying to call ourselves 10,000 Maniacs, but I think a rock and roll group already had that name.
Yeah.
We was going to call ourselves 10,000 Maniacs, you know what I'm saying, but a rock and roll group had that name. So, we went back to the drawing board. I was at home one day watching that interview, and dude said that, and I was like, shit, that's it, Totally Insane. And, I ran that shit by Mac and TC, and they were like, hell yeah. And the rest was history.
Man, that's what I'm talking about right there.
you gave us a lot of history tonight, I tell you. I really appreciate you for coming on the show. I commend you for, you know what I'm saying, continuing to make music, especially during these times when the industry is as fucked up as it is. You know what I'm saying? But I got to encourage people to support the underground and support cats like yourself. We're gonna get out of here. We're gonna hit him with the Kingpin remix to end the show with. But before we leave, if anybody wants to get at you for verses, or they want to buy your music, or they want to, you know what I'm saying, get you for shows, what's the best way they can get at you?
They can hit me on Twitter at Al Capone. They can hit me on Facebook. Shit, I forgot my Facebook thing. Facebook, The Insane Empire. They can hit me. They can email me if they got, you know. They can email me at theinsaneempire@yahoo.com or theinsaneempire@gmail.com. I'm trying to get my website back together. So as I'm doing that, I'll be giving you more information, and you can, you know, once I update my shit, you can get back on the air and let everybody know what it is. But yeah, man, I'm just taking it one day at a time, bro. I haven't really been recording a lot. I got a studio at my house. I'm just kind of like collecting beats and just kind of like filling out. I'm trying to put out the best shit I can put out. I'm not trying to do 100 mixtapes and 100 albums and flood the market with some garbage ass music. I'm trying to drop some good hot shit. I'm trying to drop some classic shit. I'm trying to drop some chronic shit. I ain't trying to drop no bubblegum ass overnight flood the industry ass shit. I want to come with some classic timepieces. You know what I'm saying? Do it like how we used to do it.
You're not one of these overnight SoundCloud rappers that puts up a picture with three words on it and a song, and then next thing you know, he gets five likes and he thinks he's a superstar. You're the real deal. You're going to take your time and make good quality music. You know what I'm saying?
Or a fucking artist put out an album that got 20 songs on it, only one or two of them is tight on there. Nah, I ain't trying to do that.
Yeah, the rest is nonsense. The rest is swag or some bullshit like that. You know what I mean?
And the two good songs on the album is the radio songs.
Right. That's when you know it's garbage.
That's when you know it's garbage.
That's when you know it's garbage, when the radio songs are better than the other songs.
I just think one last thing to my advice to all young artists out there. Stop making songs for the radio and make songs for the people, man.
Yeah.
Fuck the radio. Make songs for the people. The people going to get your shit played on the radio if it's hot.
Yeah, you're right. I remember, you know, Too Short even said back in the day, he would bring his music straight to the streets to let people hear it and get their opinion before he would even put it out himself. You know, that's what's lacking, man. Like you said, that hand-to-hand, that one-on-one contact with people where you can give them physical CDs or, you know, even if it's business cards, whatever the fuck it is, you got to get out there and meet people, you know.
Yeah.
I went to the bus stop. I was pushing CDs, and this kid, he holds up the fucking iPod, and he's like, "Nah, man, I don't do that. I got this." So I go, "Fuck you, that." It was that from the 90s, the 80s, you know what I'm saying? Kill you with it. But let's give them this Kingpin remix, man. Tell everybody what this song is.
Kingpin remix is off my second solo album, Kingpin, The 6-Year Theory. This is like I got all my Bay Area legends on there. Black C, Chunk, Equipto, Ballhead Rick and SB from UNLV. Shit, it's 11-5, man. I got a little bit of everybody on this song. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Good pop.
Yeah. So check me out. Kingpin Remix, man. Classic. Produced by TC.
Yeah. That's what it is. We're going to get off into that, but I want to tell everybody one thing before we go. Make sure to tune in Wednesday. We got the Loonies. Same time, same place, UGSForLife.com. And then Friday, we got the homie B Style. He's going to be on the show. So don't go nowhere. We're going to be playing this song right now. Ad Capone, Kingpin, you heard the legends, he said, 11-5, all kinds of different people. Ad, I want to thank you for coming on the show. RBL, Who else?
Equipto, UNLV, Ballhead Rick and SB from UNLV, Chunk, Legendary Chunk. I'm trying to think of everybody on the song. There's a lot of people on the song. I was trying to get Cole 187 on it, but he didn't get his. I was trying to get Cole 187 on it, but he didn't get his verse back to me in time.
Yeah, but, shout out to Cole 187. He's got some music coming out right now too. I just saw he did some with E40 Too Short. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's got some.
He's
drop some hot shit.
You know what I'm saying? Well, thanks again for coming on the show. We appreciate you, brother. We'll have you on in the future for sure. So stay in touch.
Oh, for sure. And as soon as I finish working on some new music, I'm sending it straight to you.
That's what it is. Man, much appreciation. This one's going in the history books, episode 264. Make sure, here in a couple weeks, we got another show I want to talk about real quick. Underground Saturday Nights with Mac J and Velvet Rose. Tell everybody about this, Mac J.
Well, you know, Prez, man, we're going to have, you know what I'm saying, a laid-back Saturday comedy atmosphere type of show that's interactive with the callers, too, you know what I'm saying? So everybody just need to stay tuned. once we finalize everything and we start posting out, we're going to run this motherfucker hard, too, Prez. I think we're going to have a lot of fun doing this shit.
Yeah, most definitely. I look forward to listening to him myself. I'm a fan of him myself. Just at the other shows, you know, UGS Radio, the Fahrenheit Hour, Slaughter Hour, KFYB, Underground Classics. Shit, I even did the Mental Therapy Hour. I think we did one episode of that. That's all it lasted. Hell yeah, we look forward to that. So make sure to keep checking the website, UGSforLife.com. Underground Saturday Nights with Mac J and Velvet Rose. It's coming very soon. And like I said, this Wednesday we got the Loonies, Yuckmouth and Numbskull. They're going to be on the show. They're back again. You know what I'm saying? Last time they were on the show, we had a blast. We're going to make sure we chop it up with them. And then Friday we got the homie B-Style. Make sure you check out the homie B-Style. He's got some dope music. He's also a dope producer. You know what I'm saying? You'll find out more about him Friday. And keep going to UGSforLife.com. You know what I'm saying? Keep fucking with us. We are that underground platform. You know what I'm saying? We are that murder dog of the audio airwaves. Shit, we are the Murder Master Music Show, man. We got our own history. You know what I'm saying? Check the archives. You know what I'm saying? Google us. You know what I'm saying? Check your favorite mainstream sites, which are not our favorite, but we happen to break through and land on them somehow.
You might even hear me on other shows talking about the Murder Master Music Show or something. You never know, you know. So
you never know. You never know where you're gonna find the Murder Master Music Show.
Man, we got all the clips, and you know what I'm saying, you can catch all the shit. Hit the YouTube page, and don't forget to hit the donate either. Cheap motherfuckers.
Most definitely. A lot of you motherfuckers. You know, this is like PBS, man. If you want to keep seeing these shows or keep hearing these shows, go to the donation page and keep this motherfucker going, because, you know what I'm saying, we're doing this shit out of the love of hip-hop. Comes out of our pockets. You know what I'm saying? So anything you can do, greatly appreciated. You know what I'm saying? And if you yourself, you're an aspiring rap artist and you want to be in the legendary Murder Master Music Show archive, hit us up, Prez at UGSForLife.com or MacJ at UGSForLife.com. You can actually purchase your own indie artist slot right here on the Murder Master Music Show and be in one of the most legendary hip-hop archives of all times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On the net, online, anywhere. You know what I'm saying? And we don't have that big, major, million-dollar budget that Vlad and The Breakfast Club and all these other sites have. We're doing this shit ourselves independently. You know what I'm saying? And like I said before, I'm cut from the cloth, a murder dog. Me and Mac J are both cut from the cloth of the 1970s, if that should tell you something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you know what
you
the fuck
that's
we came
telling,
up off
that's
of.
Why I be telling people, friends, like, this, you know, you ain't got the new age hip-hop or the mainstream shit that's out to still love hip-hop. You ain't got to give up on this shit. I'm not giving up on it because I keep hearing good shit that's brand new
I might not hear it on the radio, but I don't listen to the regular fucking radio any goddamn way. So
I'm not missing.
You can't miss nothing that you ain't looking for. So if I'm not looking for that, then I'm not missing it if I'm not hearing it. But if I'm looking for some real shit, you can find it in the underground. You're going to find a lot of that shit right here on the Murder Master Music Show.
Damn straight, damn straight. We're going to, without further ado, this is Ad Capone, Kingpin Remix, featuring, you know what I'm saying, 11-5, a whole bunch of other Bay Area legends, you know what I'm saying, Ad Capone, Totally Insane, episode 264 in the history books. We're out of here.
This little ass loves Lil Capone. Damn rogue, this that remix. That Kingpin remix. Right on TC, this shit not. We here, nigga, this that insane empire. Shout out to the Skull, PA, the whole Bay. The Bay been here, we ain't never left.
Call me Black Caesar, the Hunter's Point Kingpin. Cause I've been that ever since I started breathing. And the thugs felt me ever since I started speaking. On some real shit, when you speak they don't believe it. This hating Caesar suckers hate for no reason. So suck the ducking niggas through the week, but on the weekend. You see that Kingpin looking like a million. Posted in the club with my goons, I'm never leaking.
I can't make it rain, but I bet I can make it snow. Got my dudes in the trap house with the tribe, so they all selling O's. You come to us, you can't get nothing less. Just QP's, quarter cake, or a whole first nest. Listen, little daddy, I ain't no dummy. Only thing that I'm touching is the pussy and the money. Little daddy, I got more blow than the wind. And you know, ball here, Rick, been a kingpin.
I gotta take, cause ain't nothing given. It's a dangerous game, but I gotta make a living. It's nothing to a boss, you gotta play to win. I'm a K-I-N-G-P-I-N.
I'm a K-I-N-G-P-I-N. I'm a K-I-N-G-P-I-N.
To a boss, y'all better play to win.
I work that pirate like a full-time job. Them Nakamichis call me a cocaine cowboy. They can't wait to see me sling this shit on the track like Montana slung that rock. I'm a neighborhood star, your bitch call me Ad Rock. It's the K-word, King Coleola, Kingpin. If a nickel sack is sold in the park, I want in. Fresh off the brick, not made for human consumption. Call me Al Capone, relentless, cause that dough keeps coming.
I'm on the block, posted with Heckler and Koch. Rocks I distribute like Koch. My Kingpin's bringing bricks by the ton. My nine singing like LaToya London. I'm in Atlanta flying out hawks. If it ain't about this girl, I ain't trying to hear the talk. Got EPA rolls with matching AK. I push that K word in birds all day.
Trying to have things I gotta take, cause ain't nothing given. It's a dangerous game, but I gotta make a living. It's nothing to a boss, you gotta play to win. I'm a K-I-N-G-P-I-N.
I'm a K-I-N-G-P-I-N. I'm a K-I-N-G-P-I-N. I'm a K-I-N-G-P-I-N.
It's nothing to a boss, y'all better play to win.
I get money, got money, nothing to a boss. Ain't fun when I fall, hustle like Ricky Ross.
Like Ricky Ross.
Fuck the price in the car,
and the car.
I'm a winner,
I'm a winner.
Hey, I ain't never left. Cut from the cloth, raised on the L.O. in the dark. I'm totally insane, I get you knocked off.
Get you knocked
off. I'm a pound like an ill man, a dog. If you kill a frog, it sleep like a frog.
I'm a money go-getter, the cheddar, I gotta get it. Bring a bitch to the mall, she's spinning, so no limit. I gotta get the shoes and the fit that goes with it. Got a swagger so fly, them hoes for sure dig it. I'm a product of the block, got spitters in my grill. OGs taught me how to shoot, one shot, one kill. Don't nobody wanna be like Mike. I'm looking up to kingpins with beamers and motorbikes.
Trying to have things I gotta take, cause ain't nothing given. It's a dangerous game, but I gotta make a living. It's nothing to a boss, you gotta play to win. I'm a K-I-N-G.
I'm a K-I-N-G-P-I-N. I'm a K-I-N-G-P-I-N. I'm a K-I-N-G-P-I-N.
It's nothing to a boss, y'all better play to win.
I'm the essence of time, grind when it get dull. I'm a beat, told you before, it's time I even look forward. Whenever you're ready, come get it. I did shit like Thanksgiving. Open the can, it's dead, swimming, black fuels in the building. No love, don't get it twisted. Down the middle like a swish, I'm putting your ass when I pivot. That hard like goose split. I'm trying to count digits, my business without you in it.
Hardly ain't did a thing and singing to the police. I never thought I'd see the day everybody snitching. So watch the company that's amongst you, including big homies that you used to look up to. It's deeper now, gotta keep connections solid. The best of product, gon' have them all investing dollars. It's like clockwork, whip, though be thinking to win. A kingpin's mind stay easy, you think of your swim.
Trying to have things I gotta take, cause ain't nothing given. It's a dangerous game, but I gotta make a living. It's nothing to a boss, you gotta play to win. I'm a K-I-N-G-P-I-N.
I'm a K-I-N-G-C-I-N. Look at my Chevy, look at my Benz.
Daytona boy, burning up the blocks for the cash and the rose coins. Backstreet soldiers on the front line making noise. We ain't just rappers, homeboy, we the real McCoy. Jump around trying to get stupid, acting hella hyper, knowing that we've been up in the shit and she was wearing diapers. Now you got a mustache, acting like a street fighter. Kingpins keep it about cash, we gon' take it higher.
I'm a Bay Area boss, a Redwood City kingpin. Yeah. Always on the prowl for something to sink my teeth in.
That's right.
Cause hating on me and the money be the reason.
Yeah.
It's cold in these streets, but this chain keep me freezing. I pull up blunted in my S500 and unload the products that leave your block flooded.
There you go.
They call me cold blooded, but I really don't care.
Nah.
I'd rather die rich than be a broke square.
Yeah. I got enough bricks to build a brick house. I package a double price and when I ship down south. Come to Teflon Don, they can't take nothing from me. Gotta hurry and bake my proper rats for eating my money. In my attic, my basement walk-in closet full of bread. Surveillance and on guards, choppers by my bed. Many assassination attempts, I won't die. Say hello to my little friend, say goodbye to the bad guy.
Yeah, your boy Al Capone, Kingpin, the 6-year theory. Album number 2, you know what I'm saying? I like to say what's up to everybody that helped me with this album.
TC,
my nigga Just H, my nigga Stagmata, my nigga Choco, Leon, my nigga Rhino, you know what I'm saying? DJ Mystic,
Black C, RBL,
my nigga Lee Doja,
you know what I'm saying? My figures.
I like to say, yo, what's up, Federation?
The whole Yay, the whole West Coast, Trump, the whole down
Crypto,
South, the whole East Coast,
Mr. Key,
Al Capone, baby,
UNLV,
Kingpin, the 6-year theory.
Y'all better watch it.
Stars, the dope album.